One of the key shifts that I see happening is that previously, content marketing often either required you to pay a lot of money to have people follow you around and just capture whatever you're doing during the day and turn that into content. People like Gary Vee, Alex Hormozi, like they've sort of popularized some level of this. Gary Vee more so than Alex Hormozi in terms of doing that style of content, where a lot of Gary Vee's content was like recording him on the way to or from presentations and stuff and just getting his comments on things on the sidelines while he's doing the work of his business. Welcome back to the Real Estate Growth Hackers Show. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about some major paradigm shifts that are happening in the content marketing world as a result of AI and some of the current stuff going on with AI technology and all of that. So that's what we're going to be diving into. I have with me today my co-host, Charlie Madison, the man, the myth, the legend, wearing a red shirt today, not a Hawaiian shirt today, but we're glad to have you here as always, Charlie. Welcome.
So you're telling me that because of technology and AI, content's changing?
Yeah, content marketing is changing for sure. There is a lot going on. So mostly what I want to focus on today, I mean, we might dive into a little bit about some of how things are changing in terms of maybe problems that it's running into. I don't know. Well, we'll sort of explore this topic as a whole. So foundationally, the thing that this really brings to mind is some opportunities that are there now that previously weren't. And there's some that I think people are missing. Really, that's the key to me. You and I have talked about this a number of times about part of what's so weird or hard about this AI stuff that's coming along is it's like we were used to the world working in a certain way for so long. It's really hard for us to think outside of that worldview and exist in this world as it is now. And so you and I both do this where we're trying to see, really the question is, what are the opportunities that exist now that previously didn't because of this shift in technology? So I'm looking at this often and I'm testing these ideas and doing so in all sorts of different ways, from in the real estate world, all the way from marketing, sales, front office, back office, managing your business more effectively, making it more profitable, like all sorts of things, whether it's very specific tasks or kind of bigger concepts. And so this is one of those buckets that I know a lot of people know that there's some level of importance of doing content marketing, of getting your message out there, being present out in the public. I mean, I know you for sure are very familiar with this. This is part of what you help people do at, you know, Realtor Waiting List Referrals While You Sleep, is you make this process easy to do. So this really fits in line with that idea. Does that all make sense?
Yeah.
Perfect. So let's go ahead and dive into it. And I don't necessarily have a ton of prepared specific bullets or points for this. I have some concepts that I think are useful, some examples of technology and systems and that sort of idea. But one of the key shifts that I see happening is that previously, content marketing often either required you to pay a lot of money to have people follow you around and just capture whatever you're doing during the day and turn that into content. People like Gary Vee, Alex Hormozi, like they've sort of popularized some level of this. Gary Vee more so than Alex Hormozi in terms of doing that style of content, where a lot of Gary Vee's content was like, you know, recording him on the way to or from presentations and stuff and just getting his comments on things on the sidelines while he's doing the work of his business. Alex Hormozi has done a little bit of that as well, but I think the way that Alex Hormozi works, it might be less interesting to many people, where it's a lot of like sitting down, analyzing numbers, making decisions. While the information is powerful, it doesn't necessarily make as good of content. But both of those guys, in terms of the money that they've put into content marketing, paying teams of people to actually stand around, record them, or take the recordings and turn them into content, it's not cheap. Like, I think Gary Vee's content marketing budget, last I heard, was like easily, you know, $500,000 annually in terms of like the number of people that are doing it, right? Like that, specifically just for content marketing, that's prices out a lot of people in right. terms of how likely you are to do that. And I know Alex Hormozi was in a similar ballpark in terms of him, again, it's less people following around, more, I think, taking assets and turning them into other stuff. But anyway, but now, so like that's one bucket, right? Like that's the taking what you're doing anyway and turning it into content. historically has been really expensive. So most of us have instead gone down the path of really closer to what you and I are doing right here, which is being intentional about creating a piece of content, right? So creating something that the whole point of it is to have content go out, and like, that's the work that we're doing. Right now, you and I are working, we are doing the work of doing content marketing actively. And that could look like a whole number of different things. That could look like what we're doing. Maybe it's more of a long form show. Maybe it's something like more of the typical YouTube channels or even TikToks, where it's almost a storyboarded thing that's put together in a specific sequence and really optimized to convey the concept that you're looking to do, like a more of a produced thing, even if the production quality isn't high end, that the story is produced, right? Does that make sense? And for those kinds of things, it's like you're trying to capture shots and you're trying, like, you know, I want to make this point. So what's the best way for me to convey that point? You sort of build up this video essay around a topic to convey some idea, right? So, and that's one way to do it as well. And that way still is great and it works really well. But the downside is it takes a lot of time and effort in order to produce that kind of content. And so one of the things that's really interesting about what AI is doing right now is it's making it so that previously, it used to be expensive to just sort of have content created from the work that you're doing anyway. But there's actually a number of shifts right now that are turning where you may not realize that you're sitting on a gold mine of content ready to be turned into assets that could go out and do work for you in a whole number of different ways. So just as a basic concept, Charlie, do you like the idea that it's possible that your next year's worth of content is either already created or you're already doing the work that would create it with just a minor tweak? Do you like that idea?
That sounds like a good idea.
Cool, because that's what I've discovered. So in the real estate space, there's a number of things that I see as opportunities. First, let me share from my experience where I'm seeing this opportunity. So I've actually been doing a book club where we meet every 2 weeks or so. We take some time off for the holidays, and actually not today, tomorrow is our next book club meeting as of this recording. That won't matter when people come out or when people hear this, but we tend to meet on Tuesdays right now every 2 weeks or so. Anyway, I've been doing that for about 3 years. And for that entire 3 years, we've recorded nearly every session. Like, just all of them. So every book club meeting that we've done, we've recorded. Do you want to know how many people typically want to watch the recording of an hour or so long book club discussion?
I would think one, give or take, whether your mom's feeling well or not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, and how much she misses you.
It's pretty much nobody. Even the people who want to, like, watch the recording, it's never a high enough priority that anybody's going to actually watch that, right? So, yeah. Like, I've done the recordings mostly for sake of having that option available so that somebody could get access to it after the fact. But it's not the kind of content that people will typically go back and watch a recording of, right? Like, the conversation is, it's really designed to be done live. But I have about 3 years worth of these recordings. So I started testing the process. I had this idea that I could use AI to actually take this and do some automated processing in order to turn it into derivative content. And using a tool called Opus Pro, Opus Clip, I forget what they technically call themselves. The website is like opuspro.com or Opus Clip. I think it's called Opus Clip, but the website's like Opus Pro or something. Anyway, you know, it's confusing. But if you Google both of those, you'll find them. Anyway, and essentially what I do is now I take a recording from my book club, I upload it into Opus Clip. That then automatically combs through the recording and finds, depending on the session, well, it pretty readily finds anywhere from 10 to 20 clips, if not more. Now, of those clips, it depends on what the book was and what we were discussing. But in terms of like meeting the benchmark of like, this is actually a decent piece of content that I feel like should go out, we are seeing anywhere from, on average, 10 to 20 of those clips actually work well. So we might have to throw out a handful of them. It's somewhere around 80 to 90% of the clips that are generated we find are actually worthwhile. And what's cool about this is like the process that it would have previously taken a human to go through content like that, sit, listen to it, understand it well enough to then extract the points that you feel like could be meaningful clips that would actually be valuable. That's a lot of work and it takes a lot of time. And the quality may or may not be great. Opus Clip is pretty cool in that it's actually trained on what makes for a viral clip. So it's actually looking for things that are likely to spread, likely to captivate based on what it's been trained on. And again, it's AI, it's not perfect, but it does really well at a high scale, you know, compared to a human doing the same thing. And so I have been able at this point, I've been refining the process a bit, but at this point I have, what is it? With my assistant working on this process for me, I have over 150 clips that we have produced from past book club recordings. That's from like 6 or 7 of the book clubs. So now those clips I am able to leverage in social media to go out and get traffic for me. And that's to the tune of, on YouTube, Instagram Reels right now, and TikTok, I've somewhere around 10 times my like weekly views or something like that across this. Actually, I think that's low. I think I've done more than that when I account for all of them. And all of that is with content that was pretty easy to generate, pretty easy to come by from a thing that I didn't have to do any more work to create, right? And so the key principle there is the idea of, I think all of us are likely doing things where we're having conversations, we're saying things that would be relevant to pull for content that, because of AI making it easier to process, edit, and turn those into something that's useful for distribution, you're potentially already creating content that you didn't realize that you were creating. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that. It reminds me of, you know, when I'm working with lenders and realtors, they ask me, how long should my video be? And, you know, some people, they really like short videos, 6 to 7 right. minutes. I'm more of a fan of, you know, at least 10 to 20 minutes. But what right. I tell them, what I found is when I have a conversation and we do one of these recorded things, probably it's similar in the book club. There's a moment in the conversation where it's almost like the analogy I use is if you were surfing, it's when the board catches the wave and the conversation just takes off. And it's just really interesting. And I'm just going to throw a bunch of analogies out there. But, you know, it's like Jerry Seinfeld said, his key to writing a good joke was he wrote a joke every single day and he didn't stop. Right. And well, that's what I tell my clients is, you know, have the conversation until you hit that moment and then just ride that wave through. And, you know, it's kind of like, it just takes time to get to those cool moments. And now we can record them easily. And now we can actually use AI to pick those out, which is amazing.
Exactly. And so what's cool is that it's taken like literally any time that you are having some sort of conversation is potentially an opportunity for this. So let me put this in perspective on, you know, for real estate teams looking to leverage this process. If you do a weekly sales meeting and you are not recording that weekly sales meeting, you are missing opportunities to create content. Now, am I saying that you should go out and publish your hour-long, 30-minute-long weekly sales meeting every week and expect that's going to do much for you? No. But I am saying that it's very likely that in the midst of that meeting, there's a point where you step aside and you say, I know the market is rough right now, but here's what we're doing to adapt and how you could still succeed. And that little thing would likely make a really great piece of content to go out and find agents who want to come and be part of a team that is thinking about the market in the same way that you are. And likely the energy of that moment will feel better than you trying to recreate discussing that. And if you capture the clip and then turn it, you know, if you're recording and then leveraging that in order to create those clips, that's going to be powerful. Other examples, if you're doing internal trainings, right? If you're doing classes, doing trainings for your agents, same thing. There's going to be aspects of all of that conversation. If you're looking to recruit agents, that some portion of that is going to stand out and be really powerful. It's going to be a really interesting nugget that you could take and would be great content to go out and attract other people that are looking to learn similar principles from people like you, from your style of team, your brokerage, your company, etc. And then even further, let's like one-on-one coaching, right? Talking to somebody individually. Now, sure, there may be a lot of that, like you can't or you don't want to share publicly, right? Like private personal conversations. So there's a balance on this, right? Like we're trying to find the opportunities in this new world while still being intelligent. Don't just republish everything. You got to actually think about this stuff. But in those conversations, you are likely creating metaphors and sharing concepts and sharing experience that flows naturally in a conversation, but doesn't come to mind when you're creating content. And so being able to take that sort of stuff and turn it into content is this paradigm that's really different than where we were before. that opportunity is kind of unlocked for all of us. And so how do you leverage that? How do you maximize your ability to actually be able to do this, right? So first and foremost, even if you don't know how you're going to process this stuff yet, if you can and if you have permission to and the setting makes sense, record everything. Like just everything. Record your meetings, record just all of it, get recordings of it. Because if you have the recordings, whether it's video or audio, both, then what you end up with is you end up with the ability to get a transcript. And AI can process those transcripts really well and really effectively. And sometimes it might even be to the tune of, like, maybe the setting, it doesn't make sense to record it as a video, right? And so you record the audio. But you could still use AI to process that and take key takeaways and, like, the words that you actually used. And then those words become, you know, inspiration for your social posts, inspiration for that sort of stuff, that you could take that and very readily reprocess it into these are insights that you're having that then go out into the market for you. And it allows you to still get the benefit of really, like, if you had to say, Charlie, what would you say the point and purpose of content marketing is?
The point and the purpose of content. I mean, at the end of the day, it's to bring in money, you know, for my business. Right. And so it's to get people to know me, right. Get people to build a relationship with me, right. Get people to trust me, get people salivating over what I offer.
Right. Yeah. And I think how often me showed up in that statement really matters. Right? It's not just selling something. It's selling, what do you have to offer? What's unique about you? What do you bring the table, you know, bring uniquely to the table? One of the things that I like, for instance, about what you do with referrals while you sleep and the realtor waiting list is that the strategy inherently puts the lender or the realtor in on video in front of the audience that you're getting them distribution for. And so when it creates awareness, it's creating awareness, not just in general, right? You and I were talking about this a little bit for sake of branding, of the kind of marketing that you do also dictates who you attract and how aligned they are to you. Do they, like, if they don't want to work with somebody who wears t-shirts all the time and blue glasses and sounds like me, looks like me, whatever, right? I'd rather them figure that out through my content, then me waste my time by talking to a person that ultimately is never going to work with me because those things bug them for some reason, right? Or right. Similarly for you have an island travel tropical feel about you, right?
Yeah.
And if you got somebody who that doesn't vibe in that same way, they want somebody to constantly be wearing a suit and everything super formal and that sort of idea, like it's not going to be a good fit, right? Right. And so part of content marketing to me is putting out like the DNA of what you are and who you are out into the world to find people that align with that content, with that idea. And what's interesting is that very often when you're trying to create content, there's parts of you that get lost in that, right? Like there's parts of you that try to be this thing that you're mimicking rather than just being you. And so what's cool about this way of being able to take from the words that you actually use, the things that you're actually saying, the things that are coming up in the moment for how you deal with and respond to situations in front of you also means that when people are attracted to your business because of it, they're attracted to you and what you are about. And if you look at more of a bigger environment like a team, they're attracted to the overall culture and vibe of your team rather than just generic ideas that feel good, look flashy, etc. And so to me, that's part of the big power of content marketing. And so by having more of your content marketing be created kind of naturally as you're going, you get a lot more of that benefit in the process. Honestly, it's a big part of like why you and I do our shows like this, right? Because there is a difference. These episodes aren't like super scripted. I have some ideas I want to cover, but it's not like an exact thing. And so this is a fairly natural conversation. People get to experience what it's like to hear me talk. They get to experience what it's like to hear me respond to questions and all that. And the same idea when we do your show, right? That it's right. The same sorts of ideas. They get to hear your way of seeing the world. And if they align with that, then yeah, they'll want to work with you. They'll want to work with me. That's a fairly natural outcome, right? Anyway, so I love how AI is shifting things to make it so that what you're doing anyway can actually be the source of your content marketing. And just all the benefits that come from that, of making your messaging more authentic, making it more unique to you, making that possible, where previously it wasn't because of the cost to do so, right? So again,
can I share?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'd love to share a couple tips that I found, especially recently, and one little tool, if that's all right. So one of the tips that I found, you know, like we all want testimonials. And right. when you mentioned the sales meeting, that made me think about it. Every week, I've got a call with my realtors and lenders, and I always open up the meeting and say, hey, are there any anecdotes, you know, anything that's happened? And so I'm not asking for a testimonial per se, but like, I'm, hey, what's happened? And, you know, so one of my agents, clients, she'll say, man, I got this call from someone that's not in my database. It turned into a listing that looks like it's turning into a bunch. And, you know, last week I actually had a lender, like I didn't even have to ask. She just hopped on and started saying, oh my gosh, I got to tell you, this person just reached out to me. They gave me a referral out of the blue. Right. And so recording those sales calls, asking people for anecdotes, feedback, like those become really the best testimonials because they're just off the cuff. So that's kind of tip one. And then tip two is I've been using the software Fathom, you know, fathom.video. And what I like about it is there's a button where I can click highlight or bookmark. So as you do this without really thinking about it, because we're talking about using AI just to be able to find it automatically, you can also use that little highlight button. And Fathom actually uses AI to parse it and create little clips for you. And so those two things are really helpful as well.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a really great example because in terms of those sorts of testimonials, there's a number of things that could be valuable from that, right? Like for one, you could literally get the clip itself and the video can be powerful and useful. The other thing that you could do is that you could take the transcript and extract that person's words and have that rewritten as a written testimonial and say, hey, would you mind posting this on Google for me? Here's the link to my page. You wrote, you said some great things. It helps me a ton if this sort of information is publicly available. Would you mind posting this? And that's a lot more likely to get done than would you leave me a review?
Right.
Because would you leave me a review requires them to think instead of just say what they're thinking and what they're feeling. And so you could take those sorts of opportunities and turn them into drastically more just by capturing what's in the moment and taking it and seeing how you can leverage it further, right? Yeah, I love that. A couple other things that I've seen on the tools and hardware end. So you mentioned Fathom. There's a number of tools like this that help on this end as well. One of them that I'm using right now is called Crisp.ai. I've used a number of these. Crisp.ai, Fireflies. There's one that I used called Woodpecker as well. Part of what they do is they actually will record your meetings while you're doing them. So for Fireflies and Woodpecker, both of them, whether you're using Google Meet or Zoom, they'll join the meeting and actually record what's going on, transcribe it, and give you an AI summary of it. But just like I was saying, if you get the recordings, that's a big, like one of the biggest parts of actually being able to take this information and run with it, right? And so with Crisp, part of the reason why I like it, I'm all about trying to, like, I will pay for the right tool if I need to, but I'm all about trying to figure out how to be effective with my spending. And Crisp is a tool that I've used in the past that does a great job of getting rid of background noise. That's actually what it initially was started for. You might see a number of softwares actually have it integrated where it does a good job of like canceling out wind noise and like your kids in the background, your dog barking and the person in the coffee shop talking. And it makes it so that it's just getting your mic and it does it via AI. Anyway, that one's a great tool, but they recently added in that if you set it up to have both the microphone and the speaker using Crisp, it'll transcribe your meetings, do those AI summaries, and you got that same thing. You got that benefit of being able to capture people's words in the moment in order to then leverage out in the future. So that's a really cool one. Part of what's really cool, I was actually seeing this the other day. I don't have this yet, but like the other day, I was just talking to my father-in-law, and I was talking about, apparently I've got my thumbs up thing going.
Nice.
But I was talking to my father-in-law and we were talking about just the way that humanity is cool and how we're driven by stories and like how really, I don't know if you've ever heard this concept, Charlie, or not, but really what separates us as humans from basically every other animal is our ability to tell stories, right? That it's effectively what makes us be able to dominate the planet, because in the animal kingdom, you do have, even like at the chimpanzee level, you have like mini tribes where it's like the people that you grew up with, right? And so you recognize, this person's part of my tribe. And so you're fearful of those who are outside of your tribe. You're protective of those who are inside your tribe. Humans are interesting in that through story, we mentally change who's part of our tribe or not. And so over time, that's turned from just a, like small villages into kingdoms, into nations, into trying to see us, ourselves more and more as one big tribe and humanity and whatnot, and trying to act as if the person on the other side of the globe that I've never met, that I could still act in what's in their best interest. And all of that is through story. Right. All of that is through telling ourselves a story of who we are. Money is a story. The way that we use software is essentially a story. Right. Like all of these. Anyway, but like I was talking about this and I was just thinking like, man, like this is really interesting. It was really cool. And honestly, it would probably be very valuable for me to have this thing documented somewhere so that I could pull it back up and use it when it makes sense in light of some content that I'm producing or where it's relevant. And it just made me think, it made me realize, like, man, it would be really useful if this was just constantly recorded so that when those moments happen, I just have them. Right. And lo and behold, this is now possible. Like, there are things that are doing this. So there's a tool. So there's an app that exists called Rewind.ai that you can already go there and use that. It actually, that will run on your computer and your phone. This isn't one that I've currently been using, so if you have, then feel free to let me know how it is. But they basically what it does is it like records everything that's going on so that you could go back through your day and be able to see what you did. I think it even records audio and whatnot, so you have those and you could revisit the day. They're coming out with a hardware tool that's called the Rewind Pendant that is actually a thing that records audio and then saves it locally to your phone. What's nice about it is that the stuff never ends up in the cloud, or it doesn't have to, at least unless you want it to. So it's done at a hardware level and done device to device rather than over the internet. Now, obviously, it's not air-gapped, so there's always possibilities there. But anyway, the cool thing is, like, literally, when you're having conversations with your kids or when you're having conversations with colleagues or friends, family, spouse, whatever, right? Like that kind of stuff could potentially start to become fodder for content marketing, right? And again, you probably won't use literal clips to do it, but it might be the thing that reminds you of a story, reminds you of an example that becomes a great anchor point to talk about something else that's going on in the world, etc. And this isn't even the only device that's doing this. So that's one that specifically is designed to do that. There's another one called Humane. A couple of people from Apple founded this. It's a pin that you could wear that has AI built into it as well. It's kind of meant to be almost, it's a little bit more like an AI smartwatch, but that you wear as a pendant so it can observe what's going on and interact with you. So it's like an AI assistant that you wear as a pin, but it has that same sort of ability to like help you recall stuff in a way. And then there was another one, Plaud. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Plaud Note, Plaud. This is a thing, it's about the size of a credit card, and it gives you one-touch recording to be able to go in, and it connects up to your phone, and it transcribes your recordings, whether you're talking on the phone. I think it could even pick up the speaker, I don't remember, but it transcribes them and then summarizes them via AI, right? So there's a bunch of these tools that are coming out that really make this process easier and easier to capture content in the moment. Anyway. I love that idea. I love the idea of being able to do that, because it previously wasn't possible to do it at the scale that it is now. And now it can literally be the primary source of how you're creating content rather than having to think through what are the ways that I'm going to sit down and create content. It could be go and do the work of your business. Go and do the work of helping clients, helping agents. And likely through the work of doing that, you are creating content in the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah, indeed. So that's one of the paradigm shifts, right? It's a pretty big one, but that's one of them. The other one that really stands out to me is where our baseline expectation of the amount of content that we should be producing is, right? And so previously, there's basically just this idea of like, what are the bottlenecks that you reach in any sort of thing? That's at any given point, your bottleneck is the thing that restricts your growth or your activity or whatever, right? And previously, one of the big bottlenecks was the amount of time, effort, and work that it took to produce a lot of content. That you either needed to expend a lot more time, you needed to have a higher budget to have more people help you do it in order to get those results. And you see this, like Grant Cardone's thing, his whole strategy in terms of growing initially via content marketing was the whole 10X strategy, where it's just like, I'm going to be everywhere, I'm going to post as much as possible, I'm just going to flood everything with as much content as possible. And honestly, it works, yeah. Right? Like, I'm not sure if it will work forever. That's part of what I'll talk about in a second. But in a world where everybody else is struggling to create content, if you are creating drastically more, it's hard not to get noticed, right? But previously, you'll notice a trend, right? Grant Cardone, Alex Hormozi, Gary Vaynerchuk, these are guys that have built successful businesses, have already had budget to be able to deploy into this kind of content marketing. And typically, they were making their money in some other way before they did the content marketing at that scale, right? Because it's expensive, or it has been. But now with AI, some of this stuff is becoming drastically cheaper to produce at scale, right? So I just gave the example of hour-long recordings being turned into 10 to 20 clips automatically via AI, right? And that's happening continually over and over again, where you're able to do that kind of stuff. And so now it's becoming that, like this show that we're doing right now, it's going to be great content. Some level of people are going to listen to the whole thing. But you know what else we can do with it? And what we do with it? We take this and we extract clips and we take those clips and we distribute those far and wide, right? So we take like everything that you're doing, you can also take and either remix it into a different style, right? What are the tweets that you could do from it? What are the images that should be created? What are the articles that should be created, right? And all of that stuff, while still it takes time, the amount of time that it takes to produce those derivative assets, those different types of content, has become drastically less than it once was. So all of these things, you still figure out what is your bottleneck, right? What do you have the time and capacity to be able to do? There isn't some exact right amount to do here. But what's worthwhile to understand is that what was previously possible in whatever your time and resources bandwidth looked like, what's now possible is probably 10 to 20 times what it was, if not more, right? So yeah. If previously you were doing a YouTube show and recording one video a week and like that was your content, that's awesome. Now you have the ability, probably within a similar amount of time, to take that show and turn it into not only the show, but derivative content, including short clips, image, you know, adapted to images, adapted to text posts that'll go out over time, adapted to emails, blog posts, all sorts of stuff very readily in a way that you could even sequence and chain and have be fairly automatic across the board. And so what used to take forever or take a team or a lot of money to do now can potentially be done completely by software, thus increasing your ability to just get more content out and have more, the word that I've liked to call this is it, more at-bats. More opportunities to swing and see what connects. More opportunities to see what works. And is everything going to work? No. Right? Like, it's not that every clip is going to be great, but you're going to get more opportunities. You're going to start to be able to see what's working, what's not, and be able to learn from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, and kind of what it reminds me, you know, as you were talking, like, you know, one of the things that my clients always ask is, who's going to watch a 50-minute video? And my answer is whoever's interested in the moment. Like, that's the truth. Most people won't. But if someone's really interested, like my client Jessica, that, you know, we were closed, we didn't have any openings, and like she watched an hour and a half of two videos of mine. And what I like about what you're saying is, I mean, it used to cost tens of thousands of dollars to create a 30-second commercial.
Right.
And what these little clips are, they're 30-second commercials, a minute and a half commercials to the full content. Right. And as you do that, you're building audience and you're building audience. And so now you build the long content, and literally with Opus Pro, you know, Vizard, one of those tools, it's $20 a month, and you're able to create in an hour 15 little commercials from something you've already built. Right. And imagine you just do that consistently every week now. Every week.
Right.
Like, it just builds and builds.
Yeah. And not only that, here's part of what's cool about this as well, is that any aspect of this that could be extrapolated to text using things like Zapier, Make, Innate In, all of those things integrate with these different APIs, which means you get this clip and you could build out a full automation that takes clip and turns it into blog post, email, image posts, social posts. Now, here's what I'm going to advise people. It's not easy to do that in terms of, like, what I'm describing is really powerful, but it's not as easy as taking your content and taking a human through the process. But what's cool is that we are entering this time period where you can amplify what a human does. Where a human is still really relevant is in the editing phase, in the final polish, in saying, is this right? Is it a little bit off? But you could get a human the assets to be able to have like 80 to 90% of the work done and have it literally be as simple as I drag this video clip into this folder and then everything else happens.
Right.
For anybody who doesn't realize how powerful that is, it's amazing. Anyway, and those kinds of things, right? Like some of what we talk about on this show is the stuff that we're able to talk about at the high level and try and convey some of the principles here. That kind of building out of those automations that you could do one thing and have it become 20 things automatically with no human intervention until it's absolutely necessary at the end, that's the kind of stuff that we're actually doing in my AI mastermind, right? That's what we're coming together each week to come together and build and put into practice, where we're not just using the tools that everybody's like able to find on their own and talk about on their own. Sure. We're doing that too, right? We're leveraging those things. We're starting there. But part of what we're able to do is we're actually able to see what are the things that you are only going to hear about when they're so played out that people are teaching them in all the courses. Because that's often when you start hearing about those kinds of tactics. Because there is a saying, right? The saying, those who can do and those who can't teach. Right. Well, while I don't believe that's fully the case, I believe that there are some people who are just passionate about teaching. There's some inkling of truth to that in the sense of the people who are busy enough using the technology in order to get great results don't necessarily need to be teaching you how to use it to get the same results. And so by the time you see those people doing it, it's typically either slower just because that cross section of people that like to teach and get good results is smaller than the number of people that just do the thing, right? It's that the people who have done the thing and have taught it on the front lines has been dispersed enough that there's more people who are able to teach it, right? And so by the time you are learning anything from somebody else who like is making their money teaching it, typically it's as a result of the lessons already been learned and you're less on the cutting edge, if that makes sense.
Right.
And so in this AI mastermind, that's part of why what we're doing is we're coming together and we're doing the work together, right? We're building on how do we leverage these AI systems in the ways that we're figuring it out. We're cutting through the jungle. We're figuring out how to forge the paths that nobody is figuring out yet so that we can be on the cutting edge and we're doing it together for sake of getting that benefit of being able to learn from others, but learning from others who are there in the trenches moving forward rather than learning from others who are coming back after they've already carved the pathway and are sending a bunch of people down the path. Does that make sense? So anyway, that's what we're doing in the AI mastermind. So just it's relevant to this discussion. If you like what we're talking about here, if you like these ideas of how can we take things like content marketing and amplify them either further, I definitely recommend you check out what we're up to. You can go to realestategrowthhackers.com/contact. Let us know that you're interested. And this is the kind of stuff that we're diving into. How you leverage these shifts, how you automate as much as possible. And instead of just being talking about it, we're actually giving you things like the actual documentation to build it yourself. We're showing you the technology so that you could like just download and install the Zaps or the Make automations or Innate In, like all that stuff. We're actually like handing you as much as possible so you can take it, run with it, and implement it as quickly as possible in your business. Anyway, sorry, I got off topic there a little bit, but I think it's relevant to this. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's incredibly on topic. I mean, you know, I'm pretty technology focused, you know, like I keep up with stuff, right? And you're my AIG. You're my AI guru. You just mentioned a bunch of stuff here I've never heard. And here's what's cool. Like the tools that I use in my practice, like you told me about all of them, except maybe Fathom might be the only.
Right.
And you probably told me about it a year and a half ago and I forgot about it. Like that's probably the truth. And to just have a group of people and just when I need a prompt, I come to you, you know, like, I mean, right. So to be able to just have it all laid out where you don't even have to know what make or N-A-N means, like I know what it means and I don't want to take the time as a programmer to figure that out. It's basically like your own personal Zapier, you know, it automates everything. So to be able to be around a group of people where you're given this and then you're all testing it and improving it, you know, like every week we talk about something new with AI, like this train's not slowing down. And by the time it turns into a CEU, you're way beyond, you're way behind. So, you know, you get it now and then who knows, maybe you're the one making money teaching the CEU.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the key to me. And like, this isn't to discredit the whole teaching aspect, right? Like, honestly, I'm very passionate about teaching. I enjoy conveying this content to other people. But I also understand like those underlying principles. By the time that something is being taught, it has already either gone through some level of being tested, proven out to a point that like it's well documented, or it's being done by the people that couldn't cut it, just doing it. And it's not always one or the other. So I'm not going to say like there's no value in learning things from people teaching. There's definitely tons of value in that. But you do have to understand the nature of like where you are in the knowledge chain by the time somebody is ready to teach it. And so really that's kind of foundational to why we structured what we're doing the way that we have, is that it allows me to operate in a way where I'm not structuring all of this stuff as courses and trainings that I have to be like step-by-step exact. It's very much more, what are the problems that you're facing? Let's fix problems, build solutions, and get them deployed clearly and definitely, rather than let me build out this branded thing that I sell at scale and all that. And I will at some point, right? Like in order to help get distribution for some of this further, absolutely, that information will come. But the mastermind is all about trying to do that work together right on the forefront so that, like, I've talked about this before. Everything that I'm talking about right now, these are the paradigm shifts that are here in content marketing because of AI, right? We are in a window of time where you could leverage them to stand apart. That window does not exist forever, right? Like, there was a period of time where being the person posting content on Facebook could win you business.
Yeah.
Now, being the person posting content on Facebook is like the baseline.
Right.
Right. It's not going to be the thing that makes you stand out. What's going to make you stand out is maybe what you're posting, how often you're posting, the style of what you're posting, right? Like it's got more nuanced and you have to be more of an expert in order to get good results at this point, right? We're in a window of time where there's opportunity right now that won't be here forever. Will there be new opportunity? Sure. But that's always the case. It's like, what is the opportunity right now to capitalize? And right now I see lots of power in this, in the AI stuff. And anyway, so that's what we're doing in that mastermind, realestategrowthhackers.com/contact if you want to find out more about it. Now, before we end, there is actually one other point about these paradigm shifts. And to me, I hinted at this a little bit, but one of the key things that I see, like people make the mistake of thinking, I need to create the perfect thing in order to get the results, right? People think that first they've got to build it perfect and then they get the results. I don't know if that's ever been fully true. I think it's very rare that's true. But part of what AI is making a lot easier is being able to see that if you create enough at-bats and you pay attention to the results of what happens from that, learning from what's actually working and then on that over time is often a better strategy. So that, like, in terms of this shift, AI being able to be deployed to all of this other stuff, creating more content, getting it out into the world, and then just getting that data back, AI is also making it easier to extract meaningful data from that, meaningful conclusions from that data, to be able to say things like, what performs better for me? Long clips, short clips, clips that have a lot of text, little text, images, not images, post around a certain topic, et cetera. And some of that you're going to be able to see just on the surface of like, oh yeah, this one's got 10 times as many views and I promoted it exactly the same way. This one must be clicking with people for some reason. But other parts of it, you really only see through the way that data scientists do this is, what do they call it? Multivariate regressions, I think is what it's called, where you see these two things are very strongly correlated, right? Like if I want increased views, It's like, okay, well, we see these things correlating strongly on the things that cause increased views. Now, correlation is not causation, but often you could find the things that might be causing those increased views by at least having clarity on what's correlating highly, right? Like, this has all been possible for a while, but now, like with ChatGPT and the data analysis, what do they call it? They changed the name of what it is, but essentially the ability for ChatGPT to parse and run code for you. I forget what they call that now. They used to call it like data analyzer or analysis or something like that. Anyway, but ChatGPT's ability to like run code for you in a session, you can actually upload a spreadsheet of data and say, tell me which of these things correlates most strongly so that I know what might be making the difference of what concept's working. And like that stuff's been possible in the past, but I don't know how to run that code. And the software that most people use to do this stuff is pretty expensive. So it's like all of these technologies are becoming more and more accessible to us to be able to not only leverage the increase of how much content we can create via capturing everything in the moment, how much content we create by more readily creating derivatives and alternative versions based on creating one thing, right? We talked about that. And then having that data and be able to process it in a way that is beyond my direct intelligence or skill set. Like AI is making massive shifts in all of us to make it, the whole process just becomes more and more powerful over time as we go after it. So those are some of my thoughts. Would anything stand out to you on those ideas?
When you start talking about that, it's over my head, but I know what you're talking about because the ad campaign that I ran, you mentioned a lot of words and we hopped on and we did it. And I had a list of like 20 different options for ads and like AI picked the top like three. And one of them, I was like, this looks like it should be the top because the leads. And it said, and you said, you're like, no, not because these others are like 300% cheaper. You know,
right.
So if it was just up to me, I literally would have ran that one ad when it said, hey, use these other three that are 300% cheaper. And it didn't right. make sense until you walked me through that analysis. And, right. you know, that makes a big difference.
Right. And part of what we did was we did a Bayesian analysis on it to figure out the probability of one of those results being the top performer moving forward. Right. That's what we did. All of that stuff has existed for a very long time. What's become easier is it's become a lot easier to be able to say, export data from Facebook and make sure that I have these things present in the data, and then upload to ChatGPT and ask the question. You still got to do it the right way. You got to know the right words to say. There's still expertise that matters here. But ask this question and it could run that math for you where like you don't have to build the spreadsheet. You don't have to have the tool that was already built. It's just it already knows how to do the math. It already knows how to build the code for you. So it could do that analysis for you and give you that data back quickly just on the fly just by understanding these things, right? And so, yeah, you're right. That's a great example. That's not even the most advanced thing. Like what I was talking about with like data regressions and stuff like that, that's even more complicated. And I only barely understand it. But yeah, anyway, so all that to say, there's a ton that's shifted in the content marketing landscape. And this is just one silo of kind of this overarching area of everything that's shifted. The same level of shifts that I'm seeing happening in content marketing are happening in how you run and work with your back office, how you think about coaching and working with agents and recruiting agents. It's at play in how do you handle conversations with clients? How do you equip yourself for success on those elements? Like everywhere and anywhere that you are doing work that previously took a ton of human time, it's not that humans aren't necessary still. They are. But every person essentially gets their Iron Man suit to become superhuman if you leverage it. The technology's there. It's fairly cheap. And so it's like you could go down to the local 7-Eleven and pick up your Iron Man suit while you're getting a coffee or some soda or something like that, where like that's the equivalent of it right now. It's readily accessible to everybody. And we're still figuring out what does the world look like when everybody has the power to be Iron Man. Right? Like, what does that look like? And that's what we're doing again in our AI mastermind. We're coming together and we're seeing what are those areas where while people are still like, oh, cool, I'm going to use my Iron Man suit to create raps about my cat. we're figuring out how to use these Iron Man suits to like actually build real estate businesses of the future that are cutting edge, that are actually able to leverage the full extent of the technology as much as possible. So if you want to come together with us in our mastermind where we're diving into that, learning about this stuff together and putting it into practice as quickly and effectively as we can, go to realestategrowthhackers.com/contact. Let us know that you're interested, and we would love to connect with you and get you more details about what we're up to. Any final thoughts, any parting words on the content before I close us out?
Do it. Do it before it's too late.
There you go. So thank you so much for coming out. I am Zach Hammer with Real Estate Growth Hackers. This has been Charlie Madison with Referrals While You Sleep and Realtor Waiting List. If you are looking to have a fantastic strategy that gets you out into the market at scale, helps you to attract amazing realtor partners as a lender, or helps you to just generate a flood of business from the people who are most excited to work with you, compliant clients rather than having to hound down leads and work with people who don't want to hear from you, definitely recommend you check out what Charlie is up to. You can go to realestategrowthhackers.com/realtor waiting list, or sorry, referrals while you sleep, or RWYS. So realestategrowthhackers.com/RWYS. And that'll get you a link to what Charlie is up to, and you can have a conversation with him, see if it's a good fit for you.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Well, there you go. Thanks so much for coming to another episode of Real Estate Growth Hackers. Till next time, we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Growth Hacker Show. Remember, done is better than perfect. To turn the marketing ideas and tactics you just learned into real growth for your real estate business, visit us at realestategrowthhackers.com. If you like this episode, consider sharing it with another real estate professional who could benefit from the information. Or maybe you'd like to subscribe to the show to never miss an episode. And you can leave a rating or review on iTunes with your biggest takeaway, helping this show to reach and help more people just like you. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode.